Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hello. We're here. We're talking about video games. It's been another week. It's been another week, right? It feels like it's been another week.
It feels like it's actually been just a couple of days. Like, I can't. I don't know what it was with this past week, but I literally just, like, woke up this morning and went, holy crap, it's Wednesday already. Like, everything's just flying by. I don't know what it is about this week. And it's weird because we had an, quote-unquote, extra day in there.
Oh, right.
Because we have February 29th, yeah.
We had quote-unquote. It was quote an extra unquote, day, yeah. But it was still a Monday. So exactly. Let's not get too crazy. This week went cray-cray fast. It's been crazy. But I think it really, I meant to mention this before we got on the show, but, like, it's really just about getting as to Friday as fast as possible for Twilight Princess HD. I really think that's what's happening right now.
I keep forgetting that I actually have a Wii U in the house now, so mm-hmm. I can play Zelda. I'm really excited. I need to go buy that.
Some would say we could both play through it and then talk about it on a episode solely devoted to Twilight Princess, because it's been 10 years and that game's pretty great. And I'm looking forward to playing through it properly, because mm-hmm. something I've learned is that the Wii is terrible, and I played the inferior version of Twilight Princess. I'm learning this 10 years later that I
played it on GameCube, so
yeah, like, you don't even need to replay it, you just want the amiibo. It's like a weird role reversal here. I don't understand what's happening, but I'm looking forward to playing it, because now I won't have to. I guess it was mirrored on the Wii. I knew that, but I was young 10 years ago, well, Ryan, you know?
Plus, on the Wii, you had to do all of, like, the motion control crap, which you didn't have to do on the GameCube.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I've played a Zelda where all I have to do is tap A. I don't know how to feel right now. I'm looking forward to it.
You did bring up an interesting point, though. That is something that we could dedicate an episode to, which reminds me, we should tell everybody right off the top of the show, because I know not everybody makes it all the way to the end. We did actually make the changes to our Patreon. So if you want to go over to patreon.com/thegamersin, you can see all the new changes, new rewards. We did update it to a weekly model. And as of right now, we have still hit our first two milestones, but I think that might change when things kind of shake out. So basically now you're going to be paying per TGI Prime episode. Mm-hmm. So basically once a week we will upload the audio, video, all that fun stuff into a post, and that is what you will be charged for as a patron of the Gamers Inn. And we have goals unlocking all kinds of new content for you, and you will never be charged for any of those. So it's going to be your once weekly charge, like all the other eMove shows. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's that.
We've talked about it to death for the last 2 months, but one final point I wanted to make is that, like, we still like playing video games, so I mean, like, if we don't shake out to that level, like, right away, I'm still pretty sure that we're going to play video games. Like, that's something that's going to happen. I mean, and specifically talking about game night, that was...
Yes, game night is the milestone that's kind of, like, on the bubble right now.
we moved some things around, but hopefully, and you know, we talked to some folks, and I think if anybody has concerns, they should certainly reach out to us, and we will certainly be happy to talk about it. But as of right now, like I said, we love playing video games. I'm not going anywhere, because Thursday 8 to 10, which is the game night slot, is technically the 2 hours that I have to play video games, like online video games, where there is no pause button, where I can play with real people. So, it has to, it should stay. Please.
For Ryan's sake.
Please. Like, come on, I don't get to play Smite, Heroes. I think we talked about maybe doing, like, Just Starve. No. Mm-hmm. It's not Just Starve.
Don't Starve.
Yeah, Just Starve would be, like, not a good thing to do, because then you lose and everyone gets angry at you.
Oh my God!
So that's what we have.
Ryan's had a sleepless week, you guys.
Yeah, it's been a rough go, but I look forward to slowly dying of starvation later on this week in video game.
Yes, in video games. So yeah, we just wanted to remind everybody that those changes have happened. Again, that is patreon.com/thegamersin. So head on over there and just fix everything up, choose your right reward. Even if you are currently intending on giving us exactly what you were giving us when we were doing it monthly, first of all, Oh my God, thank you. But second of all, you'll have to go in and choose a different reward because we did update our pledge amounts for our reward system. So yeah, make sure that you're in there and changing that around. So that brings us to what we're playing this week. And Ryan, I'm going to let you go first because I only have one thing I've been playing. So, and I think last week you didn't actually get a chance to talk about this. So I'm excited because you totally sold me on the whole like, it's the Sim City we always wanted.
Yeah, you remember Sim City? You remember that train wreck? You remember we were so excited? It was my first Sim City game. You had told me all these great things about Sim City and the Sims in general, and then we got into play, and it was like, it was
the worst.
It was bad. Like servers were on fire. There was a whole speed that was like taken out because of server side issues. Like Maxis got shut down.
Yeah, you couldn't do it. It was like you couldn't do the cheetah mode, like the fast one. Which made it so boring because there's some parts right at the very beginning where you're just like, okay, I just need to speed through this to kind of like get my population up and actually get my city started. And nothing happens for the first like 10 minutes while you're doing all the zoning and everything else. So actually longer than 10 minutes, but there's a big significant chunk when you're first building your city where there's like nothing exciting happening. So when you couldn't fast forward, when you had to just like let it go by and like tick day by day, it was like, oh my God.
Yeah, it was really unfortunate in how that game was supposed to be the return of SimCity on like new platforms with current tech. And it just did not live up to anybody's expectations. And by the time it did get fixed, I didn't even go back to it. I think EA had just been like, oh gosh, please take a free game. Stop voting us the worst company in the world. Mm-hmm. And I think they really never, they lost a lot of faith. A lot of people lost faith in that company, and I don't think they've ever really gotten it back. And yeah, so we're not talking about SimCity. We're talking about a game that's been out for a while. So I know a lot of people are probably like, Ryan, we knew this. We should have emailed in to avoid your years of lacking in city building. So I'm talking about City Skylines. And there's two expansions out now. So this is relevant. They just had an expansion where they added snow.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. So now you feel really at home?
Well, I feel like I never, ever want to develop a city in snow because like it's one thing to take out the trash, it's another thing to make sure your city streets aren't killing people. So yeah, I'm not looking forward to that. Right now I've placed my city in a tropical sort of cove area where there's some water and there's a nice industrial section up above, and then that's where all the pollution
so basically
happens.
You're like cheating.
Yeah, I'm not doing
got
the hard...
Got it set to easy mode.
Yeah, so I initially played it when it was there was a free weekend going on, so I played it without the expansions. And then I bought it on sale, so I have the dark, the nightlife expansion. So essentially, like, now there's stuff to do at night. Whereas before, it would kind of just be like, at night, it was like, oh, no, it's dark. So that's essentially what happened in the nighttime cycle. It's just like, I can't see anything, so I guess it's realistic because that's how night works. But during the day,
you know that you can probably put electricity in your city and lights will come on, and it won't just be all dark, right?
That's the reason I never was able to get past the Stone Age. I didn't have electricity. No, I had electricity, but it was you know, I'm a rural town, you know, you can see the stars and everything. So
I see. This is making me really excited to go in and actually do some sort of a city building something.
You'd enjoy it. Having played
SimCity.
I know, me too.
I miss just The Sims in general. I even went so far as to download and install The Sims 4 again because they've had a whole bunch of releases of new expansion content. So although you have to buy it, which I still think is lame because The Sims 4 as a game was like so, so bare bones, like way pared down from The Sims 3. And I mean, I've talked about this before when it first came out, like how disappointed I was because like 90% of the features of the game were just gone. And even the graphics weren't that great. Like there was nothing about The Sims 4 that actually made it feel like, yay, new Sims. So, they seem to have added a whole lot more of that content back. Of course, they're in expansions that you have to pay for, but yeah. I think I have one expansion So I'm going to try out that one expansion and see. I can't remember which one it is, but I'm going to try out one expansion and see how it goes and see if they've won me back into the world of The Sims.
Who is making that game now that Maxis has been shut down?
It's just EA. I don't actually know which, like, division of EA it is, but...
It's just the weird, like, giant spaghetti monster that is EA, just making, just pumping out.
Which I think is part of the problem. Like, Maxis was just the brain behind The Sims for so long, and they were so invested, and it started off with SimCity and just kind of grew into all these different franchises, and to shut down that whole studio and then put out Sims 4, like... Sims 4, I think, it didn't have, like, the server issues that SimCity did, but it was a worse game, like, as a follow-up to a franchise.
Yeah. And man, it was like a huge... Both Sims 4 and SimCity were these two big products that were being put out there as major franchise releases from EA, and it just did not live up to even EA's expectations, as well as gamers' expectations. It was just really unfortunate, but... Back to the positivity, City Skylines, it feels like you're playing SimCity, but a working, offline, fully featured, if not more featured, SimCity game. You know, I could set policies, like, I think that might have been in SimCity, but you could set policies to be like, oh, you know, we're green energy, so we, like, put a tax on people who have more energy, and you can set tax levels for specific brackets of buildings, like whether they're residential, market, or industrial. So they have that split, similar to SimCity did. I think there was those three distinctions. And, you know, your buildings evolve as they go, so you don't have to sit there and click on them and hit upgrade. You just watch them grow as they progress, as your city builds up. I did have a couple run-ins with not being able to pay attention to the tooltips. Very important in these type of city building games.
Yes.
Where I consistently was running out of power, and I was actually streaming it at the time, and someone said, like, Ryan, you need to move your wind turbines into the dark blue, because that's where the wind blows the most. Because I'm very compartmentalized when I play these games, you know? Like, industrial in the top right corner, so all the pollution just sticks to, like, you know, the industrial sides, and maybe put a couple Tim Hortons in there. That's literally my thought process. But then that was like a low wind, and once I moved those wind turbines up onto the cliffs, I was like, I was rolling in power, just electricity shooting out of everything.
And might want to get that fixed.
Well, okay. I mean, electricity shooting out of everything in a positive way, you know, like nobody was dying, just things, people had light. It was great. One of the key features that I don't remember being in SimCity was the sewage stuff. Like, you have to actually lay pipe. I think they took that out in the new SimCity. Did they not?
I'm trying to remember. I know I do remember, like, managing waste and sewage and piping and stuff like that, but I can't remember if that was, like, the most recent SimCity or if I'm remembering, like, an older version. But I definitely remember having to do that in the SimCity universe.
Yeah, it just it felt like they were building a product for all those people who were upset that SimCity didn't live up to their expectations, and it really nails it for me. And I'm not a big SimCity guy, so you might check it out and say, well, it's good, it's a solid product, but it's not like exactly what people, fans of SimCity are looking
for. I'm pretty sure I own this. Like, I'm 99% sure I do. It's one of those things that everyone said you should get, and then I saw it on a Steam sale and then bought it, and then it just sat in my Steam library unused.
Yeah, it's been on sale a lot, actually. It keeps coming and going, and with these expansions that they keep adding, it's not a surprise that it keeps going on sale. I'm actually kind of tempted to pick up the Snow one, just because I've never played a SimCity game where you have to sort of manage that aspect, and being Canadian and living in a snow.
Did you have a
world.
Snow day today?
Yeah, yes, we did. Yeah, I was out there shoveling, and it was unfortunate. And I'm just now I'm thinking about it, and it's like it would be interesting to go through what the city planners are going through. Like,
oh, man, I just want to like stop the stream right now and just go play it. Like,
let's just go build cities. And
all right,
but that's the thing that brings us to probably the one minus point of this game is that it doesn't have what the new SimCity had, and that there's no like connectivity that I can sort of see. That was always really cool, and exciting.
That you could like build next to your friends and like have a whole like continent of all of your friend cities.
Like I had a continent with the Mats and Adam, and we were playing, and that was a lot of fun, but it required the game to be working. So we set it up, and we'd start going towards, I think it was like the group monument or something, like the super airport or something, and you could never get there because nobody could actually play the game, and that's unfortunate. But City Skylines is basically embraced the whole like tinfoil hat mantra that the
offline original, world
that SimCity sort of set us up with. It's going to take a while. There might be some sharing aspects in there, but really it is this very offline experience. There's mod support, so you could probably go in there and say like, okay, I want to add the CN Tower if it's not already in there or something. That's another cool thing.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's really, really good. It's not on sale right now, unfortunately, but with spring coming up and Steam liking to create sales around every single season, I can imagine that it'll go on sale again. And if not, it's still worth picking up at full price. It's only $30, which is a steal for this.
Yeah, considering the cost of SimCity, it doesn't even work or didn't work.
Yeah, and you don't need the.
To be honest, I haven't gone back and tried it at all.
I haven't either. I don't know if I have an interest to, like, I think they added an offline mode. It might be interesting to go see what it is, but I mean, SimCity does look better than City Skylines. It's City Skylines got that, you know, that it's not quite like EA polished. It does have a certain graphical style to it, but by no means is it ugly. It's serviceable. It's a city builder. They look like buildings and it looks like cars, and it's pretty decent. But yeah, you don't need the expansions either. I just picked one up because, again, they were on sale, and I'm like you. When something is on sale, I just like, oh, I'm gonna just buy all of this just in case.
Yeah,
you never know when I will have time to play all this city building. You know, but yeah, check it out. It's really cool. I highly recommend it.
I highly recommend the game that I've been playing the crap out of this week, which is Far Cry Primal.
Nice.
I'm having so much fun in that game. It's ridiculous.
Are you having so much fun that you're going around the house with like makeshift spears hunting cats? Like in a playful way. Like they're like Nerf. They're like Nerf staffs and whatnot.
Yeah, the pencils.
Yeah. You're not going to actually hurt them. I would never say that. Here at the Gamers Inn, we don't support animal cruelty, but please spay and neuter your pets. I just think that, you don't truly get into a game. Like, if you're playing a lot of Tetris and you have dreams about, like, clearing lines and stuff, like, that's when you're really into a game. But I'm glad you're enjoying it, because this game's kind of been on, after so many Far Cry games coming out where it's the same open world, lots of guns, shooty, killy, free a tiger and watch him attack somebody, it's nice to see where they've gotten rid of all the guns and it's just tigers attacking people. So how far did you get in
it? That's the thing. Like, I think I've played. Okay. Well, first of all, don't assume that you're playing Tomb Raider and that campfires mean that you're at a save point, because I played for one thing that Tomb Raider did actually teach me is that you need to collect all of the things for all of the crafting. So I pretty much went through the whole first area and collected everything. And then it's like, build a campfire to keep yourself warm and safe at night. So I went and built a campfire, and I thought I saved, but I guess not. So I think I probably played about 45 minutes or so, maybe an hour in that first area, just because I was trying to collect everything till my bags were full. And then so I quit the game. And then I came back a few hours later, and it was like, progress, like 7 minutes. I was like, no! So make sure, it pretty much you have to kind of like play for, I would say, if you're not taking 45 minutes in the first area that to kind of collect everything, play through until you get to the cave and you actually like meet another person. Because once you actually catch up and meet the other person, then it like saves 100% for sure. Gives you the option to save whenever, because I still didn't have the option to save when I made my first campfire. It was just like, it was like save and quit. And so I was like, yeah, do that. But there was no like just save option. And then so after, like later on in the game, I found like when I hit the pause button, that save option was there. So I think I just wasn't far enough in the game, maybe. But yeah, so just be aware if you are playing that and you do have to walk away for some reason, just make sure you try to get to the first kind of cave and meet your first other person.
And that's the other thing, too, is that these other people, they don't speak English. It's completely subtitled, and they've, like, created a language for this game.
They have, and I can't decide if I like that or not.
Is it literally because, just like, you know, like cave babble where they make up?
Yeah, pretty much.
Ooh, you jackla, baka, raka, baka.
Yeah, that actually is a really, really good impression.
I haven't even played the game. Maybe I created the language, you don't know.
On top of that, it's not actually really all that varied. It's kind of on the same level as, to bring it back to Sims, you know, Simlish, where it's like the same like 10 phrases kind of that get repeated over and over again at random points in the game. It's almost like that. Like, you can tell it's kind of like a language, but not at the same time, like not as varied or as complicated, which I guess it makes sense because it's, you know, 10,000 BC, so it wouldn't be super complicated. It would literally be like fire, tiger, ouch,
bleeding, dead. Do the subtitles sort of like match that simplicity of the language?
Yes.
Okay, that's good, at least, right?
Yeah, it is. It's just like, then, like, I mean, because the subtitles are so simplistic, it's like the subtitle literally says, like, fire hot, food good.
Yeah.
And so it's like you read the subtitle and then it takes like 10 seconds for the dude to babble. And you're just like, oh, my God. OK, I get it. Like, so it feels like the game is almost slowed down because of that. Whereas like if yeah. And but it doesn't seem like none of it is really long enough for you to kind of like skip. And until he's done his babble, he won't go on to the next line of babble.
Right.
So it's like if you need a specific piece of information from someone, then like it takes a really long time.
But eventually you do get to stab people with spears, right?
Yes.
Okay, perfect.
There is a lot of stabbing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what we want, right?
Like, yeah. There's three factions. I haven't found the third faction yet, but there's like your faction, which is basically like the, I guess, bottom rung on the totem pole. Like they're the ones that they're all hard done by. They've been driven off their land. And basically the whole point of the game is to unite your tribe and take back your valley. So, and actually I haven't found, and I don't know, because this is my first Far Cry game. So I haven't actually found like main story. Basically, all I've found is that it's kind of like open and explore and just kind of like help your tribe. And you discover different tribe people. Like I found the shaman. So that let me tame beasts, which is super cool because you like, and I'm not going to ruin it. But I think the like beast master quest that the shaman gives you, it's like this vision thing. It is probably the most beautiful, well-done thing I've experienced in video games, and probably, like, I can't even remember the last time. It was gorgeous, it was interesting, it was super cool. I love that experience. So, but yeah, overall, like, I mean, now I've gotten to the point where, like, so you get to tame an owl. And so then he can kind of give you like a bird's eye view of the area around you. And I've tamed a wolf. So I have like a wolf companion who helps me fight dudes. And so, yeah, it's really, really interesting. And I like it quite a lot. So, but yeah, I haven't found like there's no main story necessarily. The whole idea is you're just going around strengthening your tribe, basically, at least so far. That's all I've found so far. But.
And what platform are you playing on? Because I know it's on PC. Okay, cool. Yeah. And yeah, because that's interesting. Having I beat Far Cry 3 and sort of that was my first experience with that open world sort of game.
That was the one on the island or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was like this weird, you're playing like
some... I remember you talking about it.
Yeah, you're playing as like these rich, like... just spoiled brat, like, valley kids who are, like, doing drugs and getting kidnapped and, like, oh, I'll save you with this wingsuit, I guess. So, I enjoyed it because it was a really fun world to move around in. and I don't often enjoy those type of shooters, but it was a fun experience. And then Far Cry 4 came out, and it was sort of a duplication. Not a duplication as in like a carbon copy, but just it was the same environment. Like it was another jungle. It was another, you know, young guy with guns shooting people and working his way through the world as he befriends a tribe. So when Far Cry Primal got announced, it kind of looked like an expansion, but I know it is full price. So I know you don't have any experience with past Far Cry games, but do you feel like it's a full experience when you jumped in there? Having no experience with the other games, I'm curious.
So far, yeah, because I mean, I've probably played like 4-ish hours, and I think it said my last save unlocked 3% of the content or something like that. So, I mean, it seems like there's got to be, if that kind of rate of play continues, it's got to be somewhere between like 50 and 100 hours of stuff to do. And it's a lot of like, there's a lot of collecting, there's a lot of like skill talent trees there, because you have like a different talent tree for each one of your, tribe members. So like the shaman, now that I've discovered him, he's back at my main tribe, like city. And so he has his own tree, and I like my main character gets more skills as I level up like the shaman. And so it's like each tribe member like gives me skills. So the more tribe members you have, the more things you can do, the more tech trees you open up. So I like it. It's really cool. It has a pretty good crafting system. Like it was really, really easy to just jump in and understand. Mm-hmm. Combat is pretty awesome. The only thing I think it's difficult. You have to like bring up like a radial menu to change weapons. So you have to hit like left bumper and then use your right stick to choose your weapon. And like, I would rather have like a quick like cycle thing. Like if I just hit the button 3 times, I can go from arrow to club or whatever. So mm-hmm. That I think is the only thing, is I don't like having to open up the menu. But from that menu, you can do like, you can craft more ammo, you can like set things on fire. So if you have a club, like you can make it a torch, that kind of thing. You can make flaming arrows. You have to shoot them pretty fast though, because you will set yourself on fire. I did totally find that out the hard way.
Wow. Like most cavemen did when they learned about fire. It's like, this is an interesting tool, let me check. Oh no, it's on me. Me hurt. I assume, like, I'm translating roughly here, but
yes, yeah.
You know, no, that sounds interesting. It's a game that I haven't heard a whole lot about, partly due to the fact that I think that's not getting a lot of coverage, and also that I've just been out of the loop. But I'm glad you picked it up, because it's a product I've kind of been keeping an eye on, and I do like period pieces, and this is one of those period pieces that we haven't really experienced in a AAA title, although it is odd that we're sort of getting the same but opposite experience with that Horizon game coming out later this year, where it's the future, but the human race has recessed back to those caveman days, and you're hunting like dinosaur robots. Do you remember that game?
Vaguely.
Yeah, it was just one trailer, and it kind of just wowed everybody, but maybe this is the year of the caveman. Maybe that's what's happening.
Well, I mean, so far I've come across a whole bunch of different kinds of animals, and I've seen one of the two tribes, and all the tribes are actually really different. There's like the tribe that I've come across so far is like the warrior cannibal tribe. Mm-hmm. And then there's also what seems to be a really like spiritual, like witch doctory kind of a tribe. And they're like everybody's enemies with everybody sort of thing. So I don't know, it's been really, really cool so far. I'm really liking it. I would like a little bit more direction, but I think possibly I just haven't made it far enough. Like, I've been exploring and crafting pretty close to home so far, so I think I need to branch out maybe to kind of unlock the next major thing.
Yeah. Well, you know, they didn't build the wheel in a day, right? You gotta get out there. Kind of have to experience.
Well, that's the thing. I think one of the tribe people that you can actually kind of unlock is actually a inventor almost.
Oh, interesting.
And so like he'll do things like, you know, create different huts that you can have in your kind of like home location, and unlock new weapons, and, you know, things like possibly the wheel. Apparently, once you get this guy, upgrading him is like basically like watching like humanity evolve.
So you basically, like, by the end of the game, you're rolling up in a chariot and you got, like, one of those leather skirts from the Romans, and it's like,
exactly,
now who's gonna go extinct? Neanderthal who? Spear to the face.
I don't know if it goes that far into
you know, it'd be crazy at the end, aliens just show up and it's like, oh my god, the pyramids. Could you imagine if I think now it has to happen. Now I've set it up. I've sort of
now,
like,
if it doesn't, I'm gonna be really disappointed.
I'm sorry, I ruined Far Cry Primal. Yeah. Now this sounds like a really cool experience, and something, again, like something I always look for in games is just something that's different, you know. And playing in the caveman universe, or cave person, I should say, in that universe, like way back in the day, and trying to build a game around the limitations of technology, that's really cool. And it's better than just yet another open world shooter that they could have easily pumped out, because those sell. And I wonder how this one will do in comparison to what might have been a Far Cry 5 or a Far Cry 4 spinoff. But, you know, it's nice.
It does. It reminds me a lot of Tomb Raider. It really does.
And that's good, because I love Tomb Raider.
Yeah, just like a lot of the environments that you're in, even just like the trees and the grasses and stuff. And again, like I haven't explored too far. It's a very, or I guess not a varied environment. It's all very similar. So, but again, I haven't ventured very far. Like if it had changed a lot from where I left my cave to where I am now, then I'd be kind of like, well, that's weird. But it's interesting anyway, and it reminds me a lot of specifically, like, do you remember in Tomb Raider in like the geothermal valley?
Yes. Yeah,
that is pretty much exactly what the section is anyway that I've explored so far of Far Cry. That's what it looks like.
Okay,
that kind of like browny greeny grassy stuff and open fields and stuff like that. So
I was hoping someone would play this and let me know. Like, I look forward to hearing more, like, as you get a little further, because I think it's a game I might have to check out, because I think March is pretty quiet. Besides Twilight Princess, I think everything else got sort of kibosh for this month. I can't think of anything else coming out in March, and HD re-release by Nintendo probably isn't going to take top dollar for most people's lists, but
Well, I did actually. I found it on Green Man Gaming, I think, for $40. So,
that's a steal. So
I got that. I think I got that on Monday. So technically, it was still a pre-order because it came out yesterday. So,
oh yeah, wow. Okay, well, I'll check it out.
For PC, it's been out for, I think, a week and a half or 2 weeks, I think, on Xbox and PlayStation, but it just came out yesterday for PC.
Oh. Yeah, I'm seeing this here. Yeah, I didn't realize Ubisoft's been kind of, they usually put a couple weeks in between console and PC versions. And it's running, I guess we should touch on that. It's running fairly well on your hardware. Like,
it is. I turned it down a little bit just in case, because I didn't want to have issues. Mm-hmm. So I'm not running it on ultra or anything. I think I'm running it on medium or high.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, it looks fine. Only thing is, like, when, cause you can like lean down and like pet your pet wolf and stuff and feed him. And, when you do that, it looks a little bit pixelated, but, other than that, I mean, it's great. It's fine. All the environments are really beautiful, and it's a really good looking game.
Cool. All right. Well, I will probably check it out. It sounds really cool. That's awesome.
So what about you? Have you been playing anything else super cool?
Yeah, man,
you sound so enthusiastic.
I am enthusiastic, but this is going to be another one of those nostalgia trips, and one of those nostalgia trips where, like, Ryan hasn't had a lot of sleep and he's coming to terms with what he just did with his $15. And that is Pokemon Yellow on the 3DS Virtual Console. And I will say, first and foremost, I loved the original Pokemon games, like the original, like 151 Pokemon, the experience that was Blue for the first time. And like, I remember having the big gray Game Boy, and it was the gray cartridge. And I remember, actually, it wasn't gray. It was the color of, which was kind of,
you remember it so well.
I know. Well,
that it was gray. No, wait, it wasn't gray.
Well, when I was young, I didn't see, I don't remember. I was going to make a terrible joke. But anyways, no, I remember that the cartridges were like the color of the version. So you had the blue cartridge, and I remember playing blue in the car, and my mom saying like, save it, come on, you got to go. It's time for Beavers, like, or something, like Scouts, or I don't even know how old I was. But it's just one of those games that is clearly formed in my head and how I remember it. And I picked up Yellow because Yellow was sort of the enhanced version that they came out with. It was the first on the Game Boy Color, and had elements from the anime built into the game, where you had Pikachu was your starter and Team Rocket was there. And it was just, really cool. And
I remember that TV show.
Yeah.
And Team Rocket blasting off again.
Yeah. And that actually happens in the game as you sort of come across Team Rocket. And it just mirrors the show so well. You have Professor Oak, you have Gary. Those elements were present in Red and Blue, but the show sort of took from Red and Blue and then established their own names and settings and stuff. And then Yellow sort of went back and took those back and kind of implemented them. So it was just a cool, it was a really cool game when it came out. And that now playing it on the 3DS, you can, obviously it's an older game, so it's not touched up in any way graphically, or the only system that they touched was the linking. So now you can still trade and battle your Pokemon via wireless, whereas in the old game you had to do it with the link cable. And I have very vivid memories of being on the playground with my Game Boy and my friends having their Game Boys and making sure we could get all 151 Pokemon by like trading back and forth. Like that's how clear a memory I have of Pokemon from, gosh, this is their 20th anniversary. So it's been a long time. But that being said, it's kind of, this isn't a game people should play for their first Pokemon experience. Because Pokemon Yellow and Red and Blue are 20-year-old games. Mm. And they are competent experiences, but they are very simple graphically. And it's the Game Boy. Like, that's to be expected. Yeah. So if you haven't played Pokemon before, like, maybe go back to Red and Blue if you're curious, but definitely either check out, I think they remade Alpha or Ruby and Sapphire, which were Game Boy Advance games on the 3DS, using the engine that we experienced with X and Y. Very, very briefly, I think we both played just a small spin.
I think I played up until like the second or third gym. I didn't get very far.
Yeah, I got.
I think it was like the Aqua Gym or something is where I got to, and then I think I got stuck.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never been able to finish a Pokemon game since maybe the DS era. If I think I maybe even skipped the entire DS era, but since the GBA sort of line of games, I haven't been able to beat them. So I knew the $15 pass for Pokemon Yellow was strictly just a nostalgia trip for me. Like, I'm not going to beat it. I might get a couple gym badges just to, like, re-experience that game, even though I probably have it somewhere in the closet over here. But it's really cool to jump back in. And they actually announced a new version, Moon and Sun, for this holiday season. But I don't know if I'm going to jump back in. I don't know if Pokemon, at least on the handheld, is, like, the experience that I want to have.
I think I would get super into Pokemon if, like, they were all little collectible figurines.
Yeah, well, I mean, hey, don't, like, it's the 20th anniversary of Pokemon. Nintendo's running out of Smash characters and Animal Crossing characters to make into Amiibo. I wouldn't put
so
it past
So now we're
going to
get all of the Pokemon?
Yeah, like, I mean, it's weird. I don't know if they do all of them, but that'd be a huge undertaking. I think there's, like, 500. And that's the other thing.
Oh, wow.
Like, the beauty of Red, Blue, and Yellow is that they are simple, and what I would probably say, because I started there, the simple and best Pokemon that they put together. Name-wise, design-wise, it's just they were solid.
With Yellow, was there breeding involved, or was it just, like, discovery?
There was, I think, breeding. They introduced that in the Game Boy Color, like, Silver and Gold, where you could, like, take them to a breeding ground and basically be like, yo, I'm going to come back. Make sure you fertilize their eggs. And that was the experience you had. And it was a cool mechanic. But I think the issue with the more recent Pokemon is they just got so complex.
And it was like, oh, no, you can't put those two together. It's like you had to put your different Pokemons together to try to make new Pokemons. And I was just like, I'd kind of rather just find them all. And I have the same sort of issue in Warcraft with pet battles. Like, I want to just find them and battle them and capture them. Like, I don't want to do any of, like, the others. Not that you can breed battle pets in Warcraft, but there's a whole bunch of, like, other things that you can do to, like, mostly they're just drops, I guess. But anyways, point is that, like, my favorite part of it is going around through the world and finding them in the wild and capturing them. And, like, so I don't have many of the other types of battle pets in Warcraft because, you know, they're not available as wild pets. So I didn't really like the breeding thing. And I think you just come across the breeding thing at the point when I stopped, because I was just like, this is going to be way too complicated. Like, I'd rather just find them all.
Yeah. And that's something I've sort of been toying with, the idea of going, playing yellow and sort of, okay, I've fulfilled my nostalgia trip. This might be the push I need to jump back into. I think I have Y, I think, and try to experience. I remember it being a very solid game and enjoying what I played of it. But really, my experience, I think I've never really been able to get past the first 150 Pokemon. Like, those were, like, my favorite. And then when they started coming out with more, it was kind of like they got more complex, and just, like, the only ones I really latched onto were the ones that were either the starters or follow-ups or maybe quote-unquote cousin Pokemon to the original ones. And I think that's why Y and X sort of lobbed on to me, because it took some of the older designs and gave them, I think they called them Mega Evolutions. But anyways, I'm really enjoying Pokemon Yellow. It's a solid port, or not port, but it's a solid, like, virtual console entry. And I mean, if you haven't been able to play these games in their original format since the Game Boy, so if you don't have the cart laying around, like, it totally works on the 3DS super well. And it's been great to go back. I mean, long story short, it's been a lot of fun to revisit. And I forgot how cool it was that in Yellow, it was the first Pokemon game where you could have a Pokemon follow you around, and that at any point you could turn around and, like, check in on Pikachu. And it was rather than making the stupid, like, grunts and squeals that the other ones did, he made the Pikachu sound. It was just super awesome, and I remember loving it as a kid, and it's bringing back so many great memories. So, and I know a lot of people on Twitter have been going off about how they're playing Pokemon again. Josh and Garrett were having a lot of fun with Red and Blue, so I figured I'd jump in on that. Check it out, Pokemon Yellow, if you haven't. 20 years later, it's really cool.
I just want to remind everybody that you can go to bit.ly/amovestore to get all of your favorite Amove podcasts on glasses. We have wine glasses, we have whiskey glasses, beer glasses, all kinds of stuff. So head on over to bit.ly/amovestore. Also wanted to remind everyone that we have game night this Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern, looking like we might potentially be doing Don't Starve Together, which is super fun. I think we can get up to 8 people on a server.
I don't know. I think 8 was the magic number that people were tossing around, because 5 seems like too little to me.
Possibly. Yeah. Although I will say, when we did, who was it? It was me, you, Matt, Val, Jim, and Josh, right? So 6 of us.
Okay, they're saying 6.
It was really, really hard to find enough resources right off the start to make sure that people didn't starve.
So what you're saying is, like, I'm going to be eaten. Is that what you're saying? Like, first night we don't have food. It's like, all right, we're killing Ryan. Like,
pretty much, yep.
Take him out. He's got to go take care of Caden. It's fine. You know, let him go do a diaper change. He's dead. Tell Ashley she can go have a nap.
Jim says that there are supposed to be ways to get more than 6, but he's never looked into it. Yeah, I think 6 is probably fine. If you have Don't Starve Together, then make sure you let us know over on patreon.com/thegamersin. Wanted to thank all of our patrons again this week and remind everyone that we now have a Discord server set up. So if you are at the level, I believe it is $2 a week.
Yeah, but everyone has access to Discord.
Yes, so to the general one, yeah.
Even if you want to get in there, there are general links in each of our episode releases, but the Patreon, there's the specific voice channel that allows us to pull people in.
Yes, so that's what I was going to say. Make sure you have Discord downloaded and make sure that you have access to that room so that we know who to pull in for Don't Starve on Thursday. Again, that is at 8 p.m. Eastern. That's tomorrow. Ah.
Whoa.
This week is going by so fast.
Yeah, but Friday we get to play Zelda, new Zelda. When was the last time you enjoyed a Zelda game, Jocelyn?
Twilight Princess.
Perfect. Now play it again in HD.
And music so bad. We're actually going to jump right into our listener feedback. There really wasn't any news this week. Basically, YouTubers can get Emmys now, and Mass Effect and Uncharted have been delayed. Mass Effect wasn't really, I don't know if it was like a delay or if it was just the fact that all this time they were talking about it coming next year and we took that to be like 2016 and really it's like fiscal year 2016. So it's coming in the last quarter of their current fiscal year. Yeah. So it just means we're going to get it before March 2017.
It's a cop out. I mean, they released a trailer that clearly said holiday 2016 and I'm not upset because I think I even predicted this where I said like BioWare loves the month of March almost as much as I do. Because I was born in March. And usually I get new BioWare games for my birthday, which is fantastic. So next year, when I turn 30, I'll get a new Mass Effect game, which is kind of the best gift ever and helps to get over the fact that I'm turning 30.
So, don't even start with me.
I actually don't care. You know, 30 is going to be great. I could say 30. What is it? Dirty 30? That's what people say? I don't know why they say that. I'll have to Google it later. But...
So we got some listener feedback from Val. She wanted to know if we are all interested in The Division. Apparently it's coming out next week. And she says, psst, buy it on PS4. Mm. Ryan, are you interested in getting into The Division?
I don't know why I didn't mention this on the show, but I played the beta and enjoyed what I saw. But I wanna wait for reviews because I just get this. I smell Destiny here.
And right?
Not in a good way. The Destiny beta was very much like the beta for The Division, where it's like, here's a chunk of New York, and the game is set in New York, and you kind of, I don't know how much of New York they've mapped, but the premise sounds really cool. It's like a post-apocalyptic virus that wipes everybody out, and then, like, basically, I think pirates show up, but, like, terrorist pirates. There's no eye patches, which is unfortunate. But a lot of guns, and there's, like, gun loot, and there's some cool mechanics where you go on missions to acquire resources to upgrade your home building. So that's really cool. You kind of have, like... It's like Destiny that there are these missions that you go out on, but it's more like World of Warcraft's garrisons, where you have a home base that you can sort of build up by going out on those missions and collecting resources and rescuing people who have been taken hostage to, you know, staff your medical bay. But that being said, I'm gonna wait for reviews, but I'm not really sure what platform I'll pick it up on, because it really depends on where everybody else gravitates to, because it's a game best experienced with friends. That's what I sort of saw. So
I can't decide whether, I was interested in it, and now I've seen some people who are in the beta, and I've seen some Twitch channels and stuff, and I'm kind of like, I don't actually know if I'm going to enjoy that at all, so.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I need to wait for reviews because Destiny.
I'm going
to
wait and see.
Yeah.
We also got an email from Webby about DLC and extra content, and says, I think that we as the gaming community are largely to blame for companies going in this direction as we continue to buy these incomplete games and then purchase the DLC we are fed following release. The problem is, how do you get the community as a whole to stand up and say, no, we're not buying an incomplete product anymore? The only company that have taken this process in the right way is the CD Projekt Red with Witcher 3. Free DLC that doesn't have a huge effect on the original game, and the release of quote-unquote actual expansion packs. How do we get that message across to companies when they only see the extra money? It's so true. Like, it's voting with your dollars, and right now we are voting with our dollars and saying we're totally okay with incomplete games and DLC. I wish that we weren't. I miss the old, like, expansion pack model that was another full, like, half a game in some cases. This little bits and pieces of DLC for bits and pieces of money is not cool, and it's just getting more and more expensive for either the same or less content.
We've already touched on this both on the show and in our hangout, and pretty much anytime someone brings up DLC, the Canadian dollar is unfortunately not on par with the US dollar, and when DLC comes out, we end up paying pretty much for another game and the content does not live up to another game, because DLC never does, unless it is a true and blue expansion like what Blizzard does. I really like the way that Blizzard releases their quote-unquote DLC, but which will be remain to see with the StarCraft mission packs. That might be interesting. They might be doing exactly what we don't want them to do. But another company that does it really well, prior to our discussion on Fire Emblem, is Nintendo. They really nailed DLC, probably better than most companies on any other platform, with their DLC on the Wii U, you know, with the solid pricing and cross-platform buying for Smash Brothers, and then the season pass for Mario Kart 8 that got you just a crazy amount of content. But really, it all comes down to whether you feel the price is right and voting with your dollar, like Jocelyn said. And sometimes it's tough to stay away from that because it's content for your favorite game. And sometimes you don't want to vote with your dollar. Sometimes you want to vote with an angry Reddit comment because you actually still want to play that content.
Yeah.
And you can do it both ways in a constructive light by playing the content and then voicing your opinion in a nice, non-expletive format. I really think you can have it. You can do both ways, but there is a balance there where you can't go out and buy every single piece of DLC and then say it's all overpriced. Like, that's not good. But for me, I'm trying to think, like, with Fire Emblem, like, I want more Fire Emblem, so I'm going to go out and buy it. But I am still going to talk about the shady, sometimes, like, kind of iffy way.
Feels weird.
Yeah, feels yeah. weird, you know? But I really want to play more Fire Emblem, so it's kind of like, you know, what do I do there? But
yeah.
But I still think talking.
Well, they have
about
you over
it,
a barrel, right? Like,
yeah. I mean, kind of like, yeah. You're right. Like, that's the best way to put it. They've kind of put you in a position where, and same with Fallout, where there was an experience where the price was going up on March 1st, and I had no intention on buying the season pass until most of the content came out. But when they were saying, like, yeah, it's going to go up $20, which for us means $40, I was like, well, I have to buy it now, right? Because yeah. it's going to go up in price. And none of the content's out until March. And that's just like 1/6 of the content that's coming out. So it's just weird. And man, Webby nailed it. It's like we are rewarding them by buying it, continuing to buy it. Which is unfortunate because I haven't bought a lick of DLC for The Witcher 3. Mainly because I haven't finished it. know? So, man, I don't know what we do.
Yeah.
I mean, when was the last time you bought DLC?
DLC that wasn't an actual expansion?
Sure. Unless that made your thought process longer, like it's been that long.
It really has been. I mean, like, I buy my WoW expansions. Would you count Heroes in Heroes of the Storm as DLC? Because there is really no core game there.
Yeah,
I guess there's the free rotation.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I think if I had to put a guess, maybe like Mass Effect.
Mass Effect was the first thing that popped into my head. I mean, I've played a bunch of indie stuff. I've been way into Blizzard since pretty much Mass Effect. Skyrim, I bought all the DLC for Skyrim.
Oh, Rocket League. Swex is in the chat room saying Rocket League. You must have bought, like, at least one piece of DLC.
Technically, I didn't buy it. Matt bought it for me because he was like, you have to try this because it's Back to the Future. But I see what you mean. Yeah, Rocket League.
Yeah, DLC is this weird thing. And it's not. And the other thing, too, is that DLC is not for us. You know, it's for people who want to just play one game. Like,
yeah,
when you buy Call of Duty, like, I don't even think about buying the season pass because I know there's going to be a new Call of Duty game in a year. But those season passes are there for
which
people
is announced
who
that they're going to be at E3.
Yeah.
Surprise, surprise.
And I think that only one piece of DLC is out for Call of Duty right now, and they're already talking about the next one.
Yeah.
You're kind of like, so yeah, some DLC is like, I think all of the Nintendo DLC up until Fire Emblem, like, was made for me as a gamer, like, because it's like, okay, more Mario Kart, perfect, let's do it. And it was solid. And same with Val's saying Dragon Age and Mass Effect. BioWare's done very well with their DLC, and you know, Blizzard expansions continue to do well. And I already pre-purchased the mission pack, I think, for StarCraft, because I'm super looking forward to that.
I haven't purchased the StarCrafts. I actually haven't even pre-ordered Legion yet, but that's a whole
When's that coming out? June?
September.
What? Oh, I thought it was June.
Nope.
Oh well, okay, fine. I guess I won't be back into WoW this summer.
Unless I've got my release dates mixed up, but I'm pretty sure it's still ways out. Yeah.
I think it was September, and I think what was it? Overwatch is June. Like, that's the...
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that Legion is supposed to be Q3 and Overwatch is Q2.
Yeah, well, I mean, just, yeah, when it comes to DLC, you know, just...
Which could, I mean, that could mean that Overwatch comes out in June and Legion comes out in July, because we still have the honor before, mm-hmm. like, September 31st or whatever date. Or maybe September 22nd is ringing a bell, but
yeah, it's in alpha now, isn't it? Like, is that where?
Yes,
it's at?
Yeah.
So I mean, you know.
Oh yeah, the PTR is up and all the rest of it. So.
Oh yeah, well,
but
we can
I just
see
haven't
it.
Been I haven't been trying it. I'm in the alpha or beta or whatever it is now, but it's like it's all story stuff. I don't want to spoil all that stuff. That's I have no problem getting in and trying to basically break stuff in a game like Hearthstone or Heroes or whatever, because there's nothing to spoil there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, anything with a main story and a quest and stuff, I don't want to be in that beta.
Yeah, no, I agree, because that's literally the content that I
want to experience. Exactly.
Yeah. And pretty much only it. But yeah, when it comes to DLC, just like buy what you feel is right, and man, avoid season passes at all costs until you absolutely feel it. Like when it came to Fallout, like I felt like I had to, and I enjoyed Fallout, so I don't mind pre-purchasing that content, but be wary, friends, be very wary.
So that'll do it for us this week. If you want to visit us on the web, you can do so at gamersinpodcast.com. You can also find us on Amove TV, along with other fabulous podcasts, including The Angry Nerd, Into the Nexus, Overwatchers, and The Angry Chicken. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at JossPlays. Ryan is at R. Murphy. And don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/AmoveTV. You can also find the show on Facebook and Google+. If you'd like to email the show and let us know if you're playing Far Cry Primal, you can do so at info@gamersinpodcast.com. Woo! Joss does speaking.
Nailed it.
Thanks for staying at the Gamers Inn. Remember, tune in next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye.